Well, thanks for coming along. The meeting which was planned for Government House today between the Prime Minister of Fiji and the Commander of the Military Forces went ahead as planned. There was a full dialogue, very serious discussion between two men that had not seen each other or talked to each other for some considerable time. I think the outcome was positive in terms of the discussion. There are obviously other things that have to be worked on in the future. But the government's role, the New Zealand government's role, was to facilitate this dialogue, and we have done just that. Any questions?
Can you give us any specific outcomes or agreements that have been made or been arrived at?
Well, as I said yesterday, one of the difficulties of such a discussion is to... I'll say it again. As I said yesterday, one of the difficulties of such a discussion is that you somewhat foreclose on the outcomes and options if you reach what I think is a very serious confidential meeting.
How would you regard the risk of the coup in Fiji at the moment?
I don't. I'm an optimist. I think that New Zealand's role is to do its best to see whether we can work our way through this extraordinary dangerous proposition.
Did you receive any assurances from Commander that there would not be, he would not undertake action as soon as he arrives?
Well, again, we left with further work to do, and we are doing it.
So what progress was made?
Pardon?
What progress was made? The final round seemed pretty unequivocal. He wasn't when he went in there. Was there any progress made on that?
Well, we had the meeting. The meeting covered a number of subjects. They were very, very serious. There was a very good discussion. Because, as I said, some of these things are easier to fix up than others. Some can be facilitated by New Zealand, and we made that offer. But at the end of the discussion, we, as you would expect, have things to continue to work on, and we will.
How would you describe the tone or the environment between the two as they left?
Well, I don't think I should be doing that other than to say they both left in a better frame of mind, I believe, than when they arrived.
Why did they agree to keep talking?
Well, there's certainly agreement to keep talking and working on the problems that we were dealing with.
Do they have a meeting scheduled for when they get back to Fiji, do you know? Is that what they plan to do?
Well, there's certain things that have to be done before a next possible dialogue can happen.
Did they agree on anything? Or did anyone back down on anything?
Well, look, I'm not turning this into a macho contest, other than to say that sometimes when you bring a fresh perspective to a discussion, it is possible that people can see better the positions of each side, and I think that did happen.
Well, which areas are we going to facilitate?
Well, as I said, I'm not about to divulge what it is that we agreed to do, because that, I think, compromises the potential outcome, and for this process, the best outcome is all we're focused on.
Do you think these talks, though, have averted the possibility of a coup in the near future?
Well, I always thought it was a big call, but it was one that we had to take, and we hope that you are possibly right.
So you said that there were certain things that had to be done before there could be further dialogue. Is that what you're saying? You can't tell us? You can't tell us what those things are that have to be done?
Well, I'm not going to, and just try to understand this, I'm not going to compromise this process, but I think that it is something that is of so little mind or matter that I should have the potential for improper interpretation and writing.
So are you likely to go
dislodge the whole process?
Are you likely to go up to Fiji at some point to help further with the process?
That's a possibility, but I haven't yet discussed that with the Prime Minister. But I think that may be a possibility.
Before Christmas?
Well, That is a possibility, but it's not something that I would really be looking forward to do in terms of the programme of what he got. But we will do everything we possibly can as a country to see if we can help the Fijian people through this situation.
Was there an acceptance by the Commodore and the Prime Minister to keep New Zealand involved as facilitator from here on in?
Well, there was an expression of gratitude on the part of both of them that we had got ourselves involved. I think they appreciate the high risk for the reputation of the New Zealand government and everybody that is involved, but that's not the point here. The point is there hope that we can get ourselves together through this crisis? And I think there is.
Did they bring the Fijian Police Commissioner into New Zealand on the same plane as the Fijian Prime Minister?
No, we didn't bring him in.
Was he on that plane?
He was on the plane, yes, but we didn't bring him in the context you say. He came with the Prime Minister of Fiji, just in case his advice in the circumstances immediately then was required.
So he was here in an advisory capacity only?
Well, I can't imagine what other capacity he'd be in. On. He hasn't got a licence or any right or authority to act as a policeman in this country.
Do you expect that the tone on behalf of both men will be different when they get back to Fiji? Is that part of what might happen from now?
That's a possibility, yes.
You said that the outcome was positive. I mean, what does that actually mean?
Well, if we've got future work to do, and if we can do it in the time that really these events require with the greatest of expedition, then I think that's positive, and I think the outcome could be positive.
Given the Commodore's comments that he basically wanted sort of yes-no answers from Garrison, the fact that the meeting went on for 2 hours gave you some heart in terms of actual dialogue between them?
Yes, it does, and I suppose it's fair to say that when you examine a problem and all the contingencies around it, sometimes yes, it's not such a simple or no, it's not such a simple solution.
And Commodore accepted that there was obviously...
Well, we worked our way through it and through some of things, and I have in time I can report to you what they were.
So who was actually in the meeting? Was just the two of them meeting on their own, or were you there, or were there other officials there? Were there other people there?
Well, it was the Prime Minister of Fiji, obviously the Commodore. I was there, and... one of my officials was there as well. With the agreement of the Commodore and the Prime Minister.
The Commodore appeared to be running a bit late. Did he give an explanation for why his tidiness?
Well, you live in Wellington. You know what traffic problems can be like in the city.
So it was traffic that he was counting up?
Look, I can't confirm that I think I might have heard that, but I'm not confirming it because... someone's focused on more important things.
The Commodore seemed to be pretty strong on this idea that he didn't want any kind of intervention from other countries in this matter. So,
well, but I've already answered that. I've said I cannot conceive of New Zealanders being involved in a military action against the people of Fiji in any way, shape or form. We're a country that's had a long and abiding relationship and friendship with Fiji, and I think that is what New Zealand people would expect of us.
So has either side made an offer in any area that moves them towards? Has either side made an offer in any area that moves them towards diffusing this whole situation?
I believe so. Yes.
There's been some compromise today.
Not compromise. A better understanding. Is how I describe it.
But at the same time, there's no guarantee from the Commodore that he won't stage a coup.
Well, I didn't approach it on that basis. I approached it on the basis of what would Fiji look like next year, 10 years from now, on the basis of what we're doing today.
You said it was a high risk, potentially high risk involvement for New Zealand. Do you think that the country's reputation could take a battering if there is a coup in Fiji after our involvement?
Well, if you've got small-minded journalists internationally, that is possible. But and that's always a risk.
That you described as high risk.
In that context, if we we were to immediately raise people's hopes when there's a lot of work to be done in the meantime. That's what I mean by high risk.
Was Kofi Annan's statement discussed at the meeting?
No, it wasn't. But I do know that Kofi Annan had spoken to the Prime Minister of Fiji and the Commander at different times, obviously.
Was there a guarantee given to the Commander that he wouldn't be arrested or action wouldn't be taken against him when he lands in Fiji?
I don't think you can have discussions where you start giving guarantees.
But there was discussion around that issue?
Well, let's just roll that back a bit. I mean, talk of that is in itself extraordinarily unusual. When we go out for someone in this country in a police action, we don't talk about what we're going to do until we've got the person and done it. So I've always found that aspect somewhat unusual.
So do you think the Fiji Police Commissioner has been a bit inappropriate in his statements?
I'm not saying that. I just gave you an outline of what we do in our country.
Was it appropriate for Mr. Hughes to actually be here in country at the same time as Gallagher?
That's for the Prime Minister of Fiji to determine. If he wished to have him here for off-meeting conversation by phone, then I think that may have been important. But as it turned out, during these events, he wasn't required.
Have you talked to Alexander Downer today about it? What's the chances of a forum meeting on this?
No, I haven't had a chance to talk to Alexander Downer because of the need to thoroughly write up the script and to consider its ramifications. We've had countless calls from other countries as well, but let me just say this, that if we're answering all them, we wouldn't be able to have this press conference for a start, and right now, that's what's on our agenda.
Is the meeting still going through this Friday?
Perhaps that's what Alexander wants to talk to me about. I don't know.
So what happens now in terms of they're both on their way back to Fiji? What is the next?
Well, there was a discussion of certain timetables, and we have committed ourselves to ensure that we meet all of them and inside the time frame.
Can you tell us what?
I'd love to, but I can't.
Can we expect further formal meetings such as this?
That's a possibility, but that answer is in the hands of others.
Can I just clarify, Minister, all three participants in the talks agreed on a timetable, all three agreed to do certain things in that time span?
Well, the two that we were working with did, and we agreed to ensure that where New Zealand's involvement was concerned, as a facilitator in this dialogue, that we would do our utmost to ensure that the timetables were met. Now, in some cases, that means that we've got to put in extra resources and focus some people strictly on certain jobs. But we believe we could do them, and I think we can.
And what time frame is it in terms of duration? 2 weeks, 2 months?
I'd rather not say, but...
Is it short?
Well, I think these matters need every expedition, and that's the purpose of time frames we've set.
To your knowledge, does the Commodore's deadline of Monday, December 4, still stand for his demands to be met?
We have did not enter this discussion with those sorts of things in mind.
So essentially then there's not going to be a coup in the meantime because they've both agreed to a process?
No, I'm not forecasting what's going to happen or not happen, but I will say this, that if people take the discussion today in good faith, then we'll have made some substantial progress.
Was there any talk about or agreement about reducing the number of Fijian troops on the street over there? Because that's one of the issues that's...
Well, I understood that it's already been reported by the media that that has already happened.
Was there any commitment, though, that would stay, that would remain in place?
Well, no, because that has happened, or 2 days ago, when these talks were mooted. So I think if they're not all over the street, then they're not all over the street.
So was there anything that was actually agreed today other than an agreement to keep talking?
Of course there was.
When you talked about assistance New Zealand might give in this process, what kind of assistance are we offering?
Well, there's assistance to provide an independent legal view. Things which a small nation will find enormously costly and difficult, we can facilitate with much greater ease and present the view of people who have no axe to grind or any vested interest. Those are the shapes, those are the kind of things that and others we seek to make available.
Did you offer, like a professional facilitator in the same way that New Zealand offered the Tonga?
No, I didn't.
Do you expect to be called back into that role?
Well, New Zealand has offered itself in this circumstance because I think we were facing a crisis, possibly still are. We had to be seen to have done all we could as a nation. And that's how we see it, really.
And you remain ready to re-engage if you need it?
Well, that would be a great request because it means that we've still got the process on track and it hasn't been derailed. And of course we'd do anything we can to keep it going.
I mean, if you were still at Government House now talking, I mean, that would probably have been more successful than the time it took. Were you disappointed that it...
No, quite the converse. If we're still there talking, I'd know that some of these problems might begin to look unsolvable.
So you're saying the short time frame should be taken as a sign that it was very successful rather than,
Well, I know this might come as a surprise to the media, but if you can't sum your argument up under 75 words, then you might not have a very good argument. That's why this meeting was at the appropriate time, in my view. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.